everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to How Rude, Tanneritos. This is the second part of our interview with one of our favorite directors, Joel Zwick. He started Full House with us from the very beginning, and he was certainly a huge part in making the show what it is today. Here's our friend, Joel Zwick.
Woohoo, yay!
My first memory of you is was the Stacey Q episode where I'm playing the keyboard and John is teaching Candace how to play the guitar.
Oh God!
And I was faking it on the keyboard, and I remember because I was so scared of you because you were yelling about something, and I was like, I can't mess this up. I cannot disappoint Joel. It's my very first memory of you.
How cool!
10 years old.
It'd be a mean memory. I love that a lot. Essentially,
yeah. But it was always so the thing efficient. I would say is like Joel was like he would like freak out about you. You were just high intensity. You were like you knew that like he's not really mad. He's just loud and like you know. And that was just Joel.
That's essentially.
But you got us moving. You got things done.
Very efficiently. Matter of fact, we went down in the last couple of years. We were down to 4-day shoots.
Yeah, we had 4-day shoots for quite a while there for the last season. And it was so nice.
We're waiting on 5-day shoots. But, you know, it was very interesting. And we got a chance to send all of you people off to real schools. I know Candace had some problems. I don't know that you did necessarily. But I remember Candace was being made fun of at the school because she was a star on TV or whatever that was going to be.
Oh, yeah. Kids are brutal.
And I remember, the one scene I remember was Candace was being got invited by some boy to her senior prom, in high school. And
are you talking on the show or in real life?
I'm real life.
Okay.
Oh.
I'm real life. And so basically this guy comes to pick her up. He has to pick her up on the set.
No, that was Andrea.
Oh yeah, that was me.
That was Andrea.
Yes. I'm like, this sounds familiar. Yeah,
no, this was Andrea. Andrea prom. Was the one, that was her senior prom.
That was my high school boyfriend, Ben. And yeah, that was, you guys rearranged the whole schedule that night to tape my scenes, to shoot me out.
That's something else, right? But that wasn't it. There's one where she was coming also, and we gave her an entrance in her beautiful gown down the staircase. As this boy is standing there watching her come down the stairs, and myself, Stamos, and Saget are standing there with our arms crossed, staring at him. Just staring at him. This guy had to know that there'd be no fooling around with Kent.
That's hysterical.
The dress.
Who was the boy? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Now there.
I don't. Yeah.
You at the first reading of the pilot, Jody. That blew us all away. you at 4 and a half maybe could sit there at the table and read the script with the adults as fast as they could read it. That blew our minds that she was that advanced as a reader.
Yeah, when we had John on, he was like, I went out and I almost quit.
He had funny things like there was a thing, the writers used to do this thing upstairs where on one side they'd make a whiteboard and one side would be the line as written by the writers. Then on the other side would be the line as performed by John Stamos.
Yes.
Because
you know what? I blame him for my ability to just never quite get it right, but always sort of be line adjacent. It's close enough.
Line adjacent.
He'd go out, his line was simply like, okay, see you guys later. And by the time he performed, it was, well, I'm thinking right now that maybe I'll go to, I'm not sure where I'm going to go, but wherever I go, I will see you. All of a sudden, he broiled it into an entire event. And they would put that up on the top, you know. We had some funny things. I remember every once in a while in a script that we were doing, they'd have a stage direction, which they'd specifically write in bold black things saying, Joel, please, we would love to see this stage as we've written it. Because essentially, we just did what we wanted to do. And 95% of the time, nobody was complaining because we were doing it. You know?
Right.
But it was a remarkable thing, and having my kids there and being able to do a show with kids. So therefore, when I came on to Full House, I never had any thoughts or problems about having to work with children because I had children.
Yeah.
You know, so it was seemed to be something that could be done when I found out that basically I had everybody else taking care of the children. I had Brian, Adria, and I had all kinds of things. My ADs were taking care
of them. It was a real, like, sort of village family thing, and we all worked together. That's one of the things Andrew and I talk about all the time, and with all the guests and stuff, is everyone talks about what a great collection of people it was, and how everyone really...
Phenomenal collection of people. And I remember, there's some instances I remember, like... I remember there was supposed to be some scene where you're all coming downstairs into the kitchen, okay? And Kouye, who has
he would just fart. Trap us upstairs.
He trap you up there and fart. And I saw the entire cast, before I even said action, charge out. They're running for their lives.
It was Dave's form of torture to all of us. And it was hilarious. He was like a 12-year-old boy.
Well, worse than that, maybe 11-year-old boy. I don't think 12 years old.
That's true. 12 years old might have a little more maturity.
More maturity, grown in already. But, you know, we did have some problems with the fact that you did have between Saget and Kouye, you had people with questionable ability to mind their mouths.
I mean, I as an adult, I now completely understand that predicament, because sometimes
it comes out.
You don't see them. They're behind you forget, and you're like, look, I made a joke and it was.
And sometimes they're there and it just comes out because the joke is.
Sometimes you just.
And
the
I remember
joke is
something,
funny.
It was early on. I called it the March of the Mothers, where it was where something that Kouye had. No, this was something like Saget had done. Saget had come up with something really questionable. And basically it was in a break, and all of a sudden I was watched out there, and I saw the three mothers at that time, along with Mary-Kate and Ashley's mother, she was there too, marching down to Saget's dressing room to let him know that kind of behavior was not acceptable. That was
we've got to talk to him. Yeah.
The March of the Mothers.
Somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
To the Mothers.
The other thing that was pretty funny, it was that we had the great Burrow show. Which the Burrow fell in love with.
We've talked about Peppermill. We've told that story many times about the donkey that really loved John Stamos.
Okay, fine.
Everybody loves John Stamos,
but
including
the lead to the donkey was this. So the donkey would come on stage, and initially, unless you don't know, the donkey would have a hard-on that would be about 3 feet long and hang onto the ground. And we're there, and the twins
and they'd
are
have to tap it with a stick to make it go away.
And then, the twins are there staring at this thing, and everybody's trying to get them not to touch it. Don't touch it. So basically, doing this is going on, and finally, I come down. I talk to the trainer. I said, "This is ridiculous. Why is it that every time this Burrow comes on stage, it has an erection?" And he says, "I think it's you." I said, "What do you mean? You think it's me?" "I think there's something that he smells in you that's making him turned on." I said, "You're telling me that I turn on the donkey?" He says, "I think so." So I said, okay. And I left the stage, and sure enough, there were no more erections.
Oh, wait.
Gosh.
Wait.
Oh, gosh. So yes, I turned on the burrow. I turned on the burrow.
Please. All of this time, the legend has been that it was John.
John's claiming credit for the erection.
John has claimed that this changes everything. Joel.
It was Joel. The donkey was in love with John. But he didn't see John as a sexual item. He saw John as perhaps somebody to marry or somebody to be loved.
Boyfriend. You were just more of a boy toy, Joel. What can I say? A burrow toy, if you will.
Yeah. Burrow toy.
Put that on your resume.
Oh, God.
Imagine we had some events that would occur on a set where you had an awful lot of children running around.
And you came back and directed a few episodes of Fuller House as well.
Yes, I did. I did two episodes.
What was that like? How was that to come back? And
I loved coming back because the growth of you people as actors was insane to watch, you know. And yet the same relationship was still existing, and that was really cool. And I loved some of the I loved Andrea's husband.
Juan Pablo de Pache.
Oh, yep.
Was he good?
Fernando.
He was very funny. Oh, I have a story. I got to ask you a question, my dear. This is personal. I'm trying to figure out. I understand that Andrea Barber in the show took care of your child. She was the surrogate. Okay. Now you obviously could not surrogate. You could not get pregnant yourself.
Right.
You deposited eggs. Now, was it this boyfriend that actually joined you in the egg thing? Who's the sperm?
I'm going to explain IVF right now. So here's how it happens. Basically,
my daughter, Jamie's wife, was IVF. So I have IVF.
Yeah. So basically, it was me. Kimmy was just the carrier.
She was just the oven.
Somebody had to put sperm on, but
it would have been weird because it was her brother. It's my egg.
Jimmy Gibbler's.
Oh.
And Jimmy Gibbler's sperm, which is everyone now how you know how to make babies. Those two, and then Kimmy was just the vessel that carried
that.
Which is actually relatively common. For family members or people to
I knew that. I was just trying Kimmy's to figure out who baby. The sperm was. I was not.
It was my, yeah, it was my, it was
Kimmy's
Kimmy
mother.
And it was, yes, it was Jimmy and Steph's baby.
Carried by Kimmy. Okay,
yeah.
So I got that story right. I for that way, because I was looking and saying, that had to be it. And I was right. Mm-hmm. I just didn't realize it was your.
Yeah, well, because otherwise it becomes Game of Thrones really dark. turn there between Jimmy and Kimmy. that's the HBO version.
I have a good story too. One last story about Full House that I remember because it was specific to me. We were doing a classroom scene, and Michelle must have been 4.5 years old, maybe 5 years old by that point. And we're doing this classroom scene, and I think Ashley is up first, and she does the scene, and she's writing. I'm going, okay, now we do another scene in the classroom, except this time it's Mary Kate is playing the role, and Mary Kate is writing with her left hand.
Oh, my
God, she's a lefty? And then Mary Kate bit the bullet, and she worked writing it with her right hand, and we played as few scenes as we possibly could in classrooms again. Where it necessitated anybody writing. And I realized at that point they were not identical twins. They were fraternal twins. You know?
They didn't look alike. Well, to me anyway. They looked different. They looked close enough. But I definitely always...
Close enough so that nobody in the of our crew had any idea who was actually in the scene. We didn't know whether it was Mary Kate.
Unless they were writing.
They have a wonderful picture with me, with Mary Kate. I think it's Mary Kate. A little kiss on the lips, and the girls don't know who it was, but they believe that the only one who would have done it would have been Mary Kate.
I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais, and the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no yes. phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about you listeners, but my social battery has been pretty drained recently. I've noticed how easy it is to spread myself too thin, especially when life feels nonstop. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you manage to maintain a good balance? I found therapy to be the best tool in maintaining my energy levels. I'm now able to be my best self for not only my friends and family, but most importantly, for me. I truly believe therapy is for everyone, no matter how big or small your problems may seem. Seeing a licensed therapist can help you get to the root of your problems and empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/howrude today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/howrude.
Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door. Or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. You have just so many wonderful, amazing memories. Like, what a journey.
Yeah, yes.
Your story has been. And I loved what you were saying, too. Like, I didn't really have goals. I just kind of said yes to opportunities.
That's exactly
right. I find that to be okay, I want to do something, like point yourself in a direction, but then just kind of say yes to the doors that open and see where it takes you.
That's right. Because my feeling is, once again, with connections, a door may open. And it may be some step on the road. And in that step, there might be a producer that's interesting. There might be a star that's interesting. And all of a sudden, the next time they get a show, you're finding yourself moving with them. And then moving mm-hmm. there. And of course, if you have goals at some point, you may actually realize that by the end of this journey, you hit your goal. But I said, I never had goals, so it was never a concern to me. I didn't know what the options were. I just learned that just take the job, see what you can do. And maybe if they like you, you'll work again. And maybe, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I never tried not to be liked. I always tried to be efficient and productive for the. And actors used to like me because I let them act. I honestly believe that basically, if you could get everybody, including the crew and the cameraman and everybody, to be the best they can be. And the best way you can make them be the best they can be is not tell them what to do. If you're telling everybody what to do, then all of a sudden camera operators are saying, is that what you want? Okay, that's what you got. And all of a sudden he didn't tell you that, you know something, if I just open it up a little bit, I've got so-and-so in the background and look at that shot. But when you let them do their work, all of a sudden they find values you never even dreamed of. When I was with Jeffrey Jewer, who was my director of photography on Big Fat Greek Wedding, I remember going up to him first day and I said, listen, if this movie looks like what I have in my, what I see in my head, you have failed me. I said, this better not look like what I have in my head. This better be something that you get input in and start to help me develop. And it, sure enough, it helps.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he realizes he has a role. So people want his opinion.
Yeah. Oh, a good director of photography is key. It really just makes all of the difference.
In terms of,
And for those people that are listening that maybe don't know what a director of photography does, they're the ones that are typically in film and stuff, and they on TV as well, but the director kind of has a little more control of shots on TV, but they usually are, the ones really planning out the shots and the lighting and, you know, working with the director as far as what a scene or a shot is going
to
look at.
And basically... and they would try to get me off the set every time they had to do a lighting setup because I was always in the way.
Right. But, well, yeah, that's true. That's always the thing, right? I need 15. Get out of my way.
I got work to do. I'm Genie lighting coming the in. Damn thing. But essentially, we had built a very strong relationship, and since it was the same system, it was a single against a single, a two shot against a two shot, overs crossed, two against one, three. It was all the same mathematics.
By the way, all of those things that Joel just said are all different references to shots in movies and
TV.
TV. Well, yeah, on film, basically.
And you do have to know. Singles. And your choices are made. You have two people in a scene. Now, do you want to shoot them in singles, or one single against the other single? Or do you want to put them closer together and shoot it as a two shot? Now, my belief and most actors' beliefs is that in a two shot, with the person making the joke and the person responding to the joke is the place you want to be. So the actors can time it themselves. And I remember I was working on with the twin boys on the thing where they're on a ship or something.
The Cole and Dylan Sprouse. Sweet Life.
That's right.
Sweet Life.
And basically, so they were doing a scene in a hallway. And I remember going up to him and I said, guys, I have a question for you. How do you see this scene? Do you see this scene in a two shot or do you see it in singles? And they both said, oh, two shot. I said, good, then stand closer together. I walked away and they learned a big lesson that they could control. If, unless somebody specifically wants them not, you can control as an actor. Do you want to be close to somebody? Or do you want to be far away? Because it changes the nature of acting. Distance makes an argument between two people across the room from each other is one argument. Put those exact same words together and stick those people face to face, and you got a different argument.
Yes.
Completely.
Well, and I think there's so much of that too that comes from your theater background, because so much of blocking in theater is so specifically intentional to create mood and space and relationship. Yes. And I feel like that really came into play a lot. When I directed my episode of Fuller House, I met with you and you had given me the book that you wrote on sitcom directing, which was super helpful. I mean, again, a lot of it was stuff that I'd sort of absorbed
you
over
knew
the
that,
years.
Sure.
But it was also like, oh, right, okay, this, again, the connective tissue, make sure you've got, jokes in a two shot, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just remember meeting you. You and I went to Art's Deli. Of course, we went to a deli.
Of course.
And you gave me the book and you were like, I believe in you. I absolutely 100% know you could do it. And you hyped me up in such a way. And that really, that was a huge thing. And it made such a difference in feeling you and Rich Carell both said, you can do it. You can do it. And I have such admiration. I mean, again, with all of the things that you've done, when you guys, were like, you can do this, and gave me all the tips and the tools. And I just, it was a really cool experience to be able to come back to somebody who has known you your whole life.
Whole life. To help you. And then they did the same thing with Danielle Karp. who I know is one of your producers.
Yes, yes.
I had her on Girl Meets World for quite a few episodes there. And then I would meet with her because she was very interested. She was always hanging around watching what the hell I was doing when she was not in scenes. And she was also enough of a bright enough young lady that you knew that if she set her mind to doing something,
oh yeah,
she was going to get it done. And yes, she did. Indeed, she did, you know. But she also watched, she shadowed me and watched what I was doing and tried to catch up and question me, why you didn't that and why you do that? And I said, well, the actor wanted to do that. She said, oh, really? That's it? The actor wanted to do that? Because the system that I emerged from theater to some degree was basically that, there was a director who worked for the Second City in Chicago. Eventually, he ran the Geffen Theater. We were all at a big conference together. And he said something that I thought was brilliant. He said, when I do a play or anything, I put a little cone over each of the actors. And I don't go into that cone until the actor comes out of the cone and tells me they got a problem, they got something they think they can do. And my job then with the cones is to move the cones around and to stage the best possibilities for the scene. And once the actors got their words down and they got the movement down, all of a sudden they come out of their cones. And I find out, you know, I don't have to be at the table for this scene. I could be up at the cabinet and I can get something and bring it down to the table and I can pour. And all of a sudden you go, that's brilliant. We'll do that, right, of course. So that was the system I came up with. My job was simply just to get an organic staging of some kind. The actors will correct it as soon as they're doing.
And that's definitely something as we came back and did Fuller that I think we really understood more. And I remember so many times we'd be like, all right, we're just gonna run it, and like we'd have a rough idea of like who enters here, who, but you and Rich and so many of our directors usually would just kind of let us, like, you guys know what you need to do, what the relationships are, where you want to go. If I need you to be in a certain spot, you'd let us know. But it just gave such a more natural flow to
very much so. By that point, you knew the staging, you knew where you had to be. My job was initially to set where you sit at the table, because in every life, people have their spots at the table and they don't improvise every time they cross to the table. Saget is the head of the table and Stamos is with Laurie and everybody's there, you know? So basically, other than that, for the most part, and you had to stay in the set with directing. You couldn't all of a sudden under into another set, but essentially that was it. And then you people just did your job. You knew it by that point, but knew it better than I did. But but that's the key. The key is to give the power to the people who need the power. And in TV, the director is not the man who needs the power. But even when I did long form, I did some Love Boats or stuff at some point towards the end of my TV sitcom life. And even there, essentially, that needed to be staged because you're moving all over a boat. I mean,
right.
It wasn't arbitrary, but essentially the same thing. You still had to
It wasn't a multicam sitcom. Yeah.
I've got to be able to shoot this, and I've got to be able to carry things and move things and try to keep the thing tight and this kind of thing. And although some scenes were essentially two people scenes, which is, I don't care if it's a movie or anything, it's a sitcom scene and, or even three scene or standard things. But when you get into major staging things, because you're on a boat, for crying out loud.
Right. Whenever you're adding in background, everything is going to take 10 times as long and be 15 times as frustrating.
Oh, yeah, that's why I had an AD for the last 5 or 6 years, Rosario Rivetta. And Rosario was the single best extra stager I'd ever run into in my life. What he could do in terms of organization of staging was remarkable. And the fact he was so damn good that he never got the chance to direct much because they needed him as the AD.
Yeah.
They're not willing to give up his AD responsibility by letting him direct. So he would get one or two episodes a year and have to AD the rest of it. So now he's in New York doing, the OG and shows like
that. Ooh, but finding a good AD, especially on days like that when you have,
Because I didn't even schedule. He just gave me the schedule.
Well, Keith Richmond was the AD on Full House for a lot of it. I was watching one of the episodes. Oh, I think one of the ones we're going to talk about, Andrea. And Keith's daughter was in it also.
Yes, that's right.
Yes, Allison was also, she along with Jamie and Hillary were really holding it down for the Steph's schoolmates.
No, no question about that. That we're in control of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, we did it on Fuller. You know, we had a club and we're like, hey, let's throw our kids in there. And then they did it once and we're like, I'm good, actually. This is really long and kind of boring. Yeah.
No, but the trap obviously is that that Jamie wanted to become an actor and he's a pretty damn good actor. The problem is he's a lousy type. He's kind of good looking, but not really the leading man. And he's not funny and stupid looking enough to be the best friend clown. So he was stuck in a no-win position in terms of the ability to do television where the characters have to be clearly marked out for the most part. So, but he did some good theater work here and he's now teaching.
Nice.
Jamie
Aww.
Not teaching
oh, good.
Acting. He teaches good. Acting and he's on a Aww. Path teaching acting.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm very pleased that we got him out of the desire to actually still be an actor. I mean, good God, oh. What a choice in life.
Apparently that's something that, you know, you use Wickman, just try and really, you're like, should I, shouldn't I? I don't know. I'm terrible at it. Yeah, maybe not.
Give it a
yeah.
shot. What the hell? Can't hurt.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I need to get away and pack up the car and break free to embark on an adventurous weekend. What do you say, AB? Will you come with me?
Well, how will we get there, Jody Sweetin?
Well, may I suggest the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe.
Oh, I have seen this car. It is stunning.
Right? I am loving the new Hyundais. And the features make it the perfect vehicle to pack up the family and get away. There's available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, which is perfect when you have two kids who both want to stare at their phones rather than talk to you. I speak from experience.
Relatable. The Santa Fe's entire existence is to make sure it can take you on any adventure stress-free and ready to relax.
Ooh, what do you say, Andrea? How about we, like, you know, time travel isn't real, but what if we, like, take it back to the late 80s and go on a phone-free weekend somewhere?
Oh, yes. Let's go to Joshua Tree, where there's not even cell phone service.
Perfect. Let's go on a little weekend trip somewhere.
Yeah.
Out. We'll make it like it's 1988, no phones, no nothing. I'm going to braid my hair into a rat tail and bring a guitar to sing like a ripper. It's going to be great.
I'm going to put my hair up in a scrunchie with my permed hair and head on out in the Hyundai. So if you want to just escape your house filled with kids or your sister's widowed husband and your jingle writing partner, just go up to the snow and sing a cappella with your ripper's bandmates. This is the car to do it.
Well, that is if you don't already own a motorcycle and maybe have a helmet.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hey, Fanaritos, we want to talk to you about Target Circle, the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
I know it, and I definitely love it. And did you know that the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target? Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
It's the new Target Circle 360. Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
So now I'm doing theater, back to theater, and basically somewhere around the pandemic,
right?
Where we lost 2 years of our lives, I decided that this was a good time to get the hell out of the business because I started to realize that I'm taking space for women who need to direct, for minorities who need to direct, and most of these people have worked with me, and I was the one who was keeping them out of directing, and I said, that's it, so it's over for me, and let these people move on and get a chance to, because the world changed these last 5 years. The business changed. Yeah. The world changed. Women are writing women scripts that are being directed by women that are decidedly point of view, strongly female, that no male could ever approximate. Because I do remember on Laverne and Shirley, my first show, that Penny and Cindy would just be crazy saying, oh, girls, don't do this. This is not the way we would do this thing. We don't work like that. We don't think like that. And basically, they get into a bit of a fight with Davy Duklein and a few of the other wonderful producers they had. But they were all men, you know, so.
It's true.
So
very true.
And the difference in the quality of the shows is remarkable. It's remarkable, the stories that get told, that are stories. There is no male writer in the world would write those stories.
I know. Joel,
yeah. I love you for that, Joel. Thank you for saying, like, but seriously, because there are not a lot of people in this business who are like, no, you know what? I did my thing. Like, it's time for the people that were like under me, that maybe don't look like me or have different stories.
So
it's their time now. Like, I have such respect for that because that is exactly the attitude that we need and that we all have to, you know, be telling the stories, and we all have our own different perspectives. And again, I think that comes from being, you know, you're starting in experimental theater. Theater is such a melting pot and such a creative, like, pressure force of, you know, just sort of acceptance and, like, whatever it is, just let it go, you know.
And once again, this training of the actor like an athlete, because every time I hear any talk about athletes, about baseball players, about football players, basketball players, they talk that they're all of a sudden in the zone. They found in the zone where all of a sudden they're not thinking about anything except the moment. And if you can get an athlete in the moment, and a good athlete, that's what you don't want. The athlete thinking about, should I shoot this to the left, should I triple?
No.
No, they can't do nothing. It'll be instinctual. So you're trying to build the instincts of basically, which kids already automatically have, and you can hardly curb them of it. You know, you go to the airport and everybody's sitting around waiting for to get online to go to the plane, and there'd be some 4-year-old girl dancing all by herself in the middle of the floor. And you go, my God, how wonderful is that? You know, interestingly enough, there were no boys doing that. Only the girls were out there in the middle of the floor doing their dancing.
Right. You know?
But it's been quite a trip. And I'm a lucky man. I lucked out big time. I hit the golden years with the golden people at the golden time. So I can't
complain. You really did. You really did. And I mean, you are such a force. And I am so grateful that I got to grow up with you and around you. Even, you know, the times at Disney World when I said I hated you. But no, you and Andrea and I talk about this all the time, that just the really important, influential people who had incredible careers that, like, as kids, you know, we had no idea what some of these people around us had done, had, like, the impact that they'd had. It was just our family, and we love you for it. And It warms my heart that we still get to all be connected like this.
I think this is great that you're doing the pod. That's when, as soon as I heard about this thing, that's where I connected.
Yeah,
said, yeah, I want to be part of your pod.
Yes, yes.
I've been dying to have you on the pods. I didn't even know how to get onto a pod.
You did well, though.
I can do. Okay, I can Zoom.
You can Zoom. Zooming is fine. That's about the extent of my technical ability most days anyway. So, yeah. I just figured out how to get my lighting not looking terrible, like, after a season and a half. And then I finally, I don't know what happened, I just figured it out today. I was like, oh, wait, I need to bounce this off over here. I need a director of photography is what I need.
You needed a director of photography?
I did. I just got too much direct light, and I don't have light over here. I need a fill. It's just, so much.
No, can't do that to yourself. Well, but me and Andrea looks wonderful.
Thank you.
You see?
Yes, she does.
Thank you. And Joel, you look the same too. Joel, you have not changed.
Joel,
you haven't changed at all.
You really do.
36, 37 years.
Who knows? You know, so I have to say that at this particular point, as I look in the mirror and as I walk around, I've become my father. You know, I never thought that was anything that would even occur to me. And all of it, I'm walking along and I'm going, oh my God, that's where my father walked. You know? I'm going, oh, goodness gracious. Because my father was with me the last 4 years of his life, from 87 through 91. So I really knew my father best as a man. Yeah. Had growing up, you didn't know how much he worked or he didn't work, or he yelled at you or he didn't yell at you, but you didn't quite know who he was. But now I knew he was as an old man. So as I see myself plodding along, I go, oh, God.
We all eventually become our parents, isn't that? I mean, I hear things coming out of my mouth all the time, and I'm like, oh.
Oh, Jesus, no.
16-year-old me was like, I'll never. Yeah, and then, Yep.
No, we all go there. But anyway, this is terrific.
It's been fun. We love it, and it's so much fun getting to talk to everybody.
I think
Lenny Rips is going to be an upcoming guest on the show.
Lenny.
Yep.
Lenny's still, by line, probably the funniest man in Hollywood. He could write a joke line that nobody could come near. When Rips showed up with a line, everybody listened because he was really out of his mind.
He was hilarious. I can't wait for all of this.
Good.
So thank you so much for joining us today, Joel. We love you. And please tell your fam, everyone, that we said hello and we send our love and send big hugs.
Yes.
Certainly. We'll do that. Okay.
Thanks so
Absolutely.
Much, Joel.
Okay, ladies, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks. We love you, Joel.
Thanks, Joel.
Okay. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Okay. I'm leaving meeting. It says leave meeting.
Oh, my God. Joel,
I don't think he's talked since we last saw him, and he's been saving it up. He's been saving it up.
No, that's always been Joel. You know what? Joel has probably severe ADHD. And that's why I was like,
that was
weird.
A ride. That was a ride.
Great.
A Joel's Wick ride. Oh.
But like, what a facet. But yet he made sense. Like, there was not ever a point where you were like,
on the edge of my seat.
You're like, oh no, this is like, it was all like necessary information. Yeah. I was like, then you did what? Then
like,
you went
there?
I
had no idea.
Carol
I had
King.
No appreciation. Or not enough appreciation for him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I knew a little bit of Joel's story. I knew about, like, the La Mama Theater and kind of his background there and all that stuff. But, like, no idea that...
Right?
Doo-wop group with Carole King.
He's a legend.
Please.
He is a legend.
Stop it.
And
stop it.
What a great full circle moment.
Really is a legend.
He gets to mentor you being a director. Like, I love that. It gives me such warm fuzzies. It's great.
Well, Joel is truly one of a kind, and we absolutely loved getting to hear his stories from the show and really take a look at how much he's accomplished in his incredible career. I mean, some of the things I knew, some of the things I didn't. An absolute rock star legend. Wonderful human. Love Joel. This interview was such a blast, and we hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. And make sure that you are following us on socials. You can check us out on Instagram at HowRudePod. No. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
How Rude Podcast. Why have I all of a sudden blanked? How Rude
Me
Pod?
Too. I think it's How Rude Podcast. Yes, it's How Rude Podcast. We had a producer.
God. All of a sudden I was like, it's How Rude.
How Rude Podcast, yeah. Maddie,
yeah, How Rude Podcast. How Rude Podcast. We're great. It's so
you
good.
You haven't even gotten to the tagline yet. This is awesome.
Jesus, this is not going well. So yes, follow us on Instagram at How Rude Podcast. You can also make sure you subscribe and are... oh my God, I can't talk. I don't know what's not. Do you want to do this? What is happening? Joel,
Joel left and you forgot how to talk.
Seriously.
You did.
I'm usually so great. Okay, I got this. I got this.
Are you sure? I can pinch hit for you.
You got the intro. I got the outro. I don't know what happened. It was just a little brain hiccup. Okay.
That's okay. I believe in you, Jody. You can do
it. Thank you. Make sure you're following us on socials at How Rude Podcast. We're on Instagram. You can also like and subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to it so you can make sure and get all the newest episodes as soon as they come out. We are so glad that you joined us today, and we're excited for you to join us next time on How Rude Tanneritos. And remember, the world is small, but the house is full.
Well, at least you got one thing right.
Right? We started off pretty crappy, but I managed to save it at the end.
You saved it in the end. Woo-hoo. Good job.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Let's talk about Target Circle.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
With unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership. That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.